And then the letter takes a very interesting twist. So after talking about how important it is to know Nama and Rupa first and the Lopa that appears now, he then says, on the other hand, I am in favor of sitting meditation and watching mind states come and go, as formal meditators would say. In fact, in my opinion, it's all Lopa and Mana at work, but I believe it's good to have forms of Lopa that help us not to get swept away by powerful, upsetting mind states. For example, if someone is addicted to drugs and alcohol, I think it would be good to experiment with meditating on the breath and other forms of Lopa-rooted, that is for us in this day and age, practices, so that that person can have forms of Lopa that are less dangerous and destructive than drug addiction. So what he's saying is that he knows that, as far as the Dharma is concerned, what's important is understanding nama from rupa. But if someone has particular problems, even though going to sit on a cushion in another place is just motivated by lobha and mana, it may be helpful for someone in some situation with special problems, because
it's temporarily, I felt good.
Just temporarily, yes.
I think you'd say that. Temporary. But it's also rooted in ditti.
Well, if one knows that it's just out of lobha, but it's a way to just temporarily help the situation, maybe rooted in ditti or maybe not. It depends whether one thinks it's a real cure or knows it's just lobha and a temporary help in that case.
But I think we have two addictions then, to drugs and to sitting. Would that have one extra addiction to
Yeah.
But John, are you saying it would only help temporarily?
Because
or doing it temporarily
about,
is okay?
What about the anusya?
See? Yeah, exactly. So not useful.
So he's just wondering whether, you know, for some people who have some particular problems, like maybe he does or some other people do, whether this is at least a temporary way to...
This is what the meditation teachers say.
As Alberto says, just another drug to add to the other drug.
Because I know myself, personal experience, that formal meditation is addictive, yes, definitely. Just, I'm not saying...
And you can meditate on that addiction too.
The pleasant feeling, the calm feeling.
Yeah.
The pleasant feeling, yeah.
And then you forget about everything else and then you tend to get withdrawn and you try to get away from people, move people away from you, just to be alone and sit.
Isn't that just the same with listening to Dhamma?
Yeah.
Not the same, because there is understanding.
But it can be as addictive as meditating. Why not? It also gives you...
Different context. I mean, we are not here. Just, I'm not pushing you. You're not pushing me away. You know, because when you want to be quiet, in a quiet room, you say to your wife, well, do you mind if I... You know, that sort of things. Just to find your own personal space.
No, but you...
With your own mat, your own cushion.
But you are not getting addicted to being alone. You're getting addicted to a pleasant feeling that you get from meditating.
Yes, but to get to that and feeling, you...
Okay, but isn't it also a pleasant feeling after listening to Dhamma talk? And isn't that satisfaction you get from understanding a new concept or maybe thinking that you now know more than you knew yesterday?
Of course.
So
Can you say addictive?
Yes. I mean, it's
I wish it was.
And what dharma is the worst?
Worst.
What kind of dharma is the worst?
Is there a dharma that's the worst?
Is lopa the worst or what? Or ignorance the worst or what?
How can I know?
Reality, not you, not anyone. The characteristic of reality itself.
What?
Among all the Akusala Dhamma, what is the worst? Wrong understanding.
Ignorance.
Wrong view.
The most dangerous.
What does it mean? It's the most dangerous.
It will lead you away from right understanding. Vitaka. Akusala vitaka. Vititi.
Yeah, because the Sotapanya, he has still loba, clinging dosa, moha, but he doesn't have a wrong view. So he can understand how it is, but it's still the akusala there. So there is like a ditti, it's like a dhamma, and it does not understand reality or something.
Well, its characteristic is that you think you have right view. Not only, whereas ignorance is not knowing, but wrong view is thinking you understand correctly, whereas in fact you don't.
So addicted to wrong view is the worst.
It's better to have no views.
Really?
It's better to have a... I'm just asking, it's better to have no views or wrong view?
When it's not right view, it's wrong view.
What about no view?
It can be, because there can be attachment without any view. But the wrong view is not eradicated.
Like a child, no wrong views about realities arising. Yeah, better than having wrong views.
That was my question.
Yes.
I'll keep my views limited, just in case.
What about the anusaya? See?
But the anusaya is there.
Anusaya. Tendencies, latent tendencies.
Just back to Phil's point, which he kind of mentions in another note. In the other note, he says, well, he doesn't drink because of the precepts.
Oh, so the banana does not drink?
By replacing the need for alcohol or marijuana with the lobha of meditation, it helps to make the akusala karma behavior that becomes more likely through intoxication less likely.
And what about addicted to wrong view?
Yeah. That is the
more
only
difficult to get it off.
And then he says he understands satipatthana can only arise at moments of detached mind states, but detached mind states might seem to arise during my meditation, but he realizes it's all rooted in lobha. Anyway, but that the answer is addicted to wrong view. Good.
I think many times I come across that in on the DSG and if talking to people. A lot of people have as their goal better behavior, better sila. Another world, not so much drinking, not so much.
Still, I.
Very much, very much. But it's interesting that we encounter that a lot. And these, that's exactly what these letters are showing.
That's why without understanding, all kinds of kusala is not pure.
Mm-hmm.
It's tainted with I.
Sila is done.
Could you elaborate on that
a little bit? So if someone doesn't understand about metta, dana, or
reality.
Any reality. As realities.
When you said that the worst akusala is moha. And in the sutta,
the most dangerous.
The most dangerous.
Yeah, because you see that Sotapanna doesn't have wrong view, but still have moha.
Titi. And in the sutta, reflect that lopa is less harmful but stay long. Dosa is very harmful but stay short. And moha is very harmful and stay long. Very long. So what, this reflects anything about...
And what about right understanding? Even when there is lopa dosa, but there can be right understanding. But when there's no right understanding, it will lead to killing of, like now.
So it's danger, more dangerous.
And lopa and dosa are also accompanied by moha root. So ignorance is there. For the any of the akusala elements, but ditti is the one that leads us furthest astray from the path.
The one who has moha can study, right? Develop understanding to have less ignorance. But those who have wrong view, can they understand anything?
But wrong view is eradicated by Sotapattimagga. Yeah. So we must have some wrong view before then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It seems like there is no wrong view at all in the beginning. There is latent tendency.
And wrong view is an element ditti as a cittasika as any others, and it arises and falls away. It is not necessarily not there all the time.
It
can follow moments of kusala, moments of understanding.
This is perhaps relevant for those who are worried about past akusala kamapata, because despite the terrible things that one may have done in the past, the worst akusala is wrong view.
Mm-hmm.
And
taking all those events as I.
Yeah, okay. And I think you've said before that satipatthana, moments of insight, are, of course, kusala kamapata of a very high degree, the highest degree, in fact, and much stronger than the akusala kamapata. I mean, this is because we have so much actually of kusala, but even though there's much less kusala and especially satipatthana, but still it is a very...
What about Angulimala?
Yes.
He could become an arahata.
Right.
Because of the panya.
Yes.
And you have another question of Gloria's to read.
I do. I have another question about anger and the reaction to it. I can accept that there is anger arising it is conditioned, and it is supposed to arise. But somehow, I cannot accept that it is conditioned how I react to it. I think there must be a way not to react in a bad way, so I don't harm the person I am angry with. By reflecting on anger, I can see it, and I have the choice not to react in a harmful way.
Good.
I was going to say, do you want me to stop here and you can start commenting?
Because he likes it that way.
Do you want me to finish this then? And then there is the feeling of I can choose to react in a better way. If there is no I, how can I change my behavior? It will take eons.
Vitaka.
No Kanti at all. I am confused.
It will take eons. Or more.
So in answering that one,
Kunduka scan.
Excuse me?
You can answer that. Vitaka. No
vitaka.
One can change except vitaka.
Yeah, that's thinking no one can change.
Do you have something more to say to that? To say about this?
Dhamma? Not anyone can.
And I mean there's a lot of ditty in here. I think there must be a way not to react so badly, so I don't harm the person I'm angry with. So I think one has to go back to basics.
Not you or me, just...
Anatta.
That moments of kusala, not wanting to cause harm, not wanting to disturb the other.
What is that?
Dhamma.
See?
More dhammas.
Yeah, she says that then there's a feeling of I that can choose to react in a better way. If there's no I, how can I change my behavior?
Vitaka.
Yeah, again, I have this overwhelming urge to explain. But
one word can be used in any situation.
Seems like a handy one to throw around, doesn't it?
Yesterday it was Manasikara, today is Vitaka.
Flavor of the day. I think, Vitaka. It's a lot of thinking and wrong thinking based on accumulated wrong thinking.
With wrong Manasikara?
Absolutely. for eons, and the only thing that will change wrong thinking is the development of understanding. Understanding of dhammas. That everything is dhamma. Conditioned realities that arise and fall away. And that there is no I to change anything. The I is an illusion created by wrong thinking. It's a start. Next paragraph, help her.
There are no short-term fixes.
That's right. There are no short-term fixes.
Actually, Alberto has been writing some helpful letters to...
I think I replied to them. But
I think so. Lucas, you made one comment which people were... asked about. You made a comment that you had heard... It's okay.
No.
You said that you had heard on a tape Ajahn Suchin says that when she sees, she just sees.
Mm-hmm. And some she told it once.
Yes. Lucas heard you on one of the recordings saying that when you see, you just see. So the question was what you meant by it.
Not he sees, I see.
Seeing sees.
No, Ajahn, but you once told on the recordings, it was very helpful, like, when you were talking Dhamma and just when I see, I just see, and no time for ideas to come, Vitaka, that moment, like...
Impossible. Because maybe it means that at moment of seeing, it's only seeing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Same for anyone, right?
Yeah. Anyone sees. It's just
Dhamma.
See how we can twist it?
We thought, or he thought, that because of your great accumulated panya, no stories at all.
No. I didn't think like at all. I thought different way at the time. When I give it to DSG, I just wanted to give some reminder, and this was for me good, so I shared.
Yes.
Because it's helpful, because we take all things like I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, and a lot of thinking, like I think all the time, and that's very helpful.
But this. What did you think she meant when she said, when she sees, there is, she just sees?
That there is no times when they are seeing for any idea to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Because the seeing doesn't know who's there, or shape, or form, it just
sees the color. But that's say whenever seeing arises, any time, not.
How I don't, but you? I don't get it now.
What you quoted, you said that Ajahn says that when she sees, she just sees.
Yes.
Yes. But actually, it's not...
Not only me.
Anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All agree.
Another one from Mariah.
Somehow, I'm excusing my behavior by non-selflessness and that everything is out of control. I have not experienced that. I have not experienced that there is no I, so I can only try to develop understanding until now, it is only a belief. For example, last night, before I went to bed, I got a little hungry, but I didn't really need to eat. It was more of a craving for a nice taste. That's insightful. Early, I would have told myself that it is not so healthy to go and eat now. Now I tell myself that it is out of control and I can just observe what I'm doing, what I'm going to do. I did not follow this craving to go to eat. Now I don't have guilty conscience because it is out of control. Nothing I can do. Earlier, I would have blamed myself for not having control over that, but I feel that I am excusing my behavior now since I have not experienced anattaness and just believe it somehow. I feel that this is totally wrong understanding of anatta, isn't it? Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I understand what she means. What she means is that before she heard about dharmas as anatta, she understood that she, Luria, could control them. She would say, okay, now, you know, I'm bored, I'm going to go and read the fridge. But no, I must control myself, so I won't. So she wouldn't go and read the fridge. But now she's heard about, well, all dharmas are anatta, out of anyone's control. So if I go and read the fridge, it's just anatta. So it almost becomes like an excuse to behave in this way, because it's not me, it's not Luria, and there's no one who can control it. It's just conditioned dharmas. Another friend, actually Phil in Canada, has made exactly the same comment, that it becomes almost like an excuse to behave in different ways that one might not have before. Do you have any comment?
It does matter what one is thinking, excusing like that,
yes.
But the cause will bring the result.
Yes.
I'm thinking of something like Lopa is obviously involved in raiding the refrigerator. And there are, I guess it doesn't help to talk about restraint, does it? Because it either arises or
and
it doesn't arise.
It's a wrong view. It's
a wrong
understanding
view.
That because dharmas are anatta,
it doesn't matter how one behaves or what one does because it's conditioned.
But she doesn't understand Dhamma and the anattaness of Dhamma. Yeah. So she thinks, I am anatta.
That's a very interesting way to put it. I don't think
that's...
Yeah.
It's still me, it's still you.
So I can do anything because
I am
anatta.
It's still wrong with you, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. There's all these elements and then anatta.
It's like when our friend Yis went to Canada and got into some bad behavior after listening to us, and he said, well, it's because you all said anything that arises is conditioned, and that's why I stopped listening to the monks who told me to have good seal and to do this and that, and but it's another kind of wrong view.
Right. Yeah, and I think everyone is owner to that because it's wrong, but this wrong thinking, wrong view, but it's also conditioned to do this thing. Like when it's the tendency to do this or think that way, even the wrong way, it's also conditioned, I think. So.
Yes, for sure it's conditioned.
Hmm. Lucas, are you anatta?
Excuse me?
Are you anatta?
Yeah, but it's just vitaka.
I don't
know what to say, so I say vitaka.
Instead of saying, I am anatta, anatta is not you.
When you mentioned that she thinks I am anatta, what do you mean?
So, anatta can do anything.
So, anatta can do anything.
Because you think that anatta can do anything.
I have a question, if I may. Because it was long ago, I read the Survey of Paramatta Dhammas. And I don't remember it now, but there was like, because in this dictionary I found at least, because there was like this vipati and sampati. I think it's about vipaka from Survya of Paramatta Dhammas, and it was, there was like 8 or 16, I think 16 is sampati and vipati, like gati, sampati, gati, vipati, kala, sampati, kala, vipati. Like the proper time, it's like to referring to the vitaka, isn't it? I found it in this dictionary, it was like 8 things, and 4 was vipatti, and 4 was sampatti. And that was like basically the environment one is born, it was the gati, the time, proper time to live, if there is sampatti, so it's like here or not, and there was. It was like the third was like the job or work, the doing the task. Like someone is managed to doing a task.
Payoka sampatti and payoka vipatti.
Payoka vipatti. And the fourth, because the fourth.
Vipatti and sampatti.
Sampatti. The fourth of payoga. The third one is payoga, yes? Practice, undertaking means practice or undertaking payoga in this dictionary. But that's also like if one is... Oh, the payoga sampatti is competence in diligently and intelligently deliberating and undertaking a task. And in your Survya of Paramatta Dhamma, it was explained like there is the sampatti and vipatti. And for example, payoga sampatti is competence intelligently and intelligently deliberately and undertaking a task, and payoga vipatti is incompetence in doing a task. So for example, in my case, in my life, that's so wonderful to, because even there is no understanding of Dhamma or of this, but at least this passage from the Survya of Paramatta Dhammas, it reminds me even in the intellectual level about the these four instances, the right environment one lives, one is born, the proper time one sleeps, the how one is doing in the undertaking of the task. Because sometimes I'm just like lazy or something, and the people take me, you are lazy, or you are not diligent enough, or you are not able to find the word. But I like to just, and I like to reflect sometimes this, that is like vipaka, because you refer to vipaka, isn't it?